Hello, and welcome to another SNL Energy podcast. I'm Jennifer Zajac, senior editor here, and with me today is John McManus. He is Vice President, Environmental Services for American Electric Power. We're going to be discussing the Clean Air Interstate Rule, what's going on in Congress, and his outlook on coal. Hello, John.
How are you?
I'm good, thanks. We've had some people asking us, well, what would happen to the Clean Air Interstate Rule if some of the bills that are floating around Congress get passed? Can you talk about which one in particular, I believe it's the CARPER one, that may impact CARE?
Yes, there's two efforts underway in Congress. One is focused on the climate issue and greenhouse gases and trying to put together sort of a comprehensive approach to carbon dioxide, other greenhouse gases, and sort of related energy issues, renewable energy, that type of thing. The second focus in the Senate is on sulfur dioxide, nitrogen oxides, and mercury in the form of legislation that's co-sponsored by Senators Carper and Alexander. And that bill, if it moved forward, would in effect try and address the deficiencies in the current Clean Air Interstate Rule that were identified by the D.C. Circuit Court when it remanded the rule to EPA. So it's an attempt to try and really correct that program. It also includes a provision on mercury, establishing mercury requirements, and also in the context of the D.C. Circuit Court vacating EPA's Clean Air Mercury Rule. So the CARPER bill focuses on the more traditional programs under the Clean Air Act, apart from the effort on climate.
And John, what's the status of the CARPER-Alexander bill? Where is it at in the process?
It's still in committee, and the committee held a hearing early in March on the bill. We actually testified at the hearing, provided our company's views on what's in the legislation. My understanding is there may be an attempt to mark up the bill and see if they can get it out of the Environment Public Works Committee.
So what's the outlook? Do you think this will be passed into law anytime soon?
I think that's a challenge, in part because of the difficulty of getting any complex legislation moving in Congress right now, given how close we are to the elections and the other issues that Congress is dealing with. So I'd be surprised if it could actually make it through the Senate and the House and be passed into law. But there are, if written properly, I think it is an opportunity to address some of the issues with CARE, with the Hazardous Air Pollutants Program, and provide some degree of certainty to the industry in terms of planning going forward on how to deal with our existing coal plants.
John, you mentioned that AEP testified before Congress. What did you say?
The main points were that the implementation schedule, we thought, was too short. When you look at the lead time required to install new control non-power plants, or if a decision is made to shut down a plant to make sure that you have replacement generation, that we felt that more time was needed for both the SO2 NOx program and the mercury program. And then the second issue, which we thought was pretty critical, is it addresses mercury, but it does not address other hazardous air pollutants that EPA is developing a regulation on. And we think it makes sense to address mercury, but it also should make it clear that there's not really a need to address other hazardous air pollutants from power plants. EPA studied that before and concluded there really is not a public health issue from these other HAPs, and keep the focus on mercury. So those were our two main concerns.
John, can you talk a little bit more about the kind of timelines that are being kicked around as far as when, you know, once these rules are enacted, how much time are they proposing to give the utility sector to get up to speed?
In the SO2 and NOx part of the bill, the first deadline would be in 2012. It would be based on the existing CARE and Title IV SO2 programs, which is a good start, but EPA would have to write a new regulation in 2011, and then there'd be 1 year to implement that. And again, if it requires any additional controls to be added, that's just not enough time. On the mercury side, it would require EPA to establish a new regulation and then have the compliance deadline be 2015. Again, there's no question we'd have to be adding additional controls for mercury, and that's a short period of time. So we think with some relaxation of that schedule, adding a little bit more time to it, and then writing the program in a way way that provides as much compliance flexibility as possible, you could come up with a workable program.
John, AEP is known for kind of being ahead of the curve in terms of implementing pollution controls at its various power plants. What's AEP doing now? Are you trying to kind of get ahead once again with this legislation, trying to anticipate what's going to happen, or are you just waiting and seeing what happens?
I think we'll wait and see on this legislation, given the uncertainty with it, but we have existing compliance obligations. You know, the CARE program is still in place now, and the NOx side of it went into effect last year. The SO2 program under CARE goes into effect this year. So we're still in the process of implementing our compliance program for CARE. We just started up in February a scrubber on one of our 800 megawatt units in West Virginia, and we have a second 800 megawatt unit at that same site that will be finishing the scrubber on that unit late this year, early next year timeframe. So we still have compliance obligations that we're continuing to work to meet.
John, I need to tell you, coal is getting pulverized in the media, pun absolutely intended. How might this impact the lawmakers and what's happening at the EPA as far as, you know, policy decisions are concerned?
I think one key point to recognize is we still rely heavily on coal for our energy needs in this country. There's still about 50% of the electricity we use in the United States comes from coal, and that's not something you can change overnight. EPA has a number of regulatory programs that will affect coal plants going forward. Their revision of the CARE rule, whatever they do with the hazardous air pollutants program, they're expected to come out with a proposal on disposal of coal ash, coal combustion byproducts soon. All these programs are going to put additional cost pressure on the existing coal fleet. So we're starting to see companies start to make decisions in terms of retiring some older units, in part because of the exposure, not the only reason, but it's a significant reason. And so I think, you know, all the companies that have coal are trying to plan for the future and evaluate what is the right generation mix going forward in balancing environmental objectives, cost objectives, energy supply issues. And AEP is no different than the others. We're trying to figure out this puzzle as well.
John, any policy proposals in particular keeping you up at night?
Where EPA is going to go with the hazardous air pollutant rule is of strong interest, in main part because that could have a very short compliance deadline once EPA issues the rule. And again, it goes back to the point I made before about needing enough time to implement controls or implement new capacity if retirement decisions are made. And then the coal ash rule is another one we're concerned about. We expect to see that soon from EPA. They seem to be moving in a direction to declare coal ash a hazardous waste, which we think is not needed at all. It is technically not justified, would not be a good policy. That there are other ways to address their environmental concerns that they have with disposal practices without going all the way to hazardous waste designation. So those are two rulemakings that we expect to see in the next, you know, this year, next year timeframe that we have keen interest in.
All right. Well, I don't have any more questions, but John, is there anything else you wanted to add, anything we didn't touch on?
Just to kind of sum it up, and this is what I indicated in my closing comments at the hearing on the Carper bill, I think we're in a decade of transition in our electric system in this country. When we look at the environmental requirements we expect to face, when we look at the interest in renewable energy, the need to improve the transmission system that we have in the country, in part to help facilitate renewable energy deployment. And so I think it presents a lot of opportunities, but a lot of challenges. And the timing of these different programs, I think, is going to be pretty critical in order for the industry and companies like AEP to manage through this next decade in this transition. So, like I said, a lot of opportunities, but a lot of challenges as well. And we need good policy in Washington to help guide us.
John McManus, Vice President, Environmental Services for American Electric Power, thanks so much for speaking with us today.